to Psalm 138. Now, some of you water carriers on this side, you stand ready. If I shake this white cup, that means I'm dry. Make quick tracks, all right? My water boys is in Tennessee tonight. They poured water on the hands of Elijah. Elisha did. And these young men been pouring water down my throat. Amen. I need it. Doctor told me to drink water while I preach, after I preach, before I preach, during the day, all day, and lay off the caffeine. Said the caffeine dries you out. He said all those glands in there need to be well lubricated with moisture and mucus, and they get that moisture by fluids in your body. So he said, drink. I'm going to tell you what, if I drink any more today, buddy, we're going to have a hard time paying the water bill in the bathroom. Amen. There's been a lot of running going on in there today. But I'm going to keep on drinking it. I need my voice. Preacher's not much without a voice. In fact, he's just nothing. Unless you got a ministry to the deaf and you learn sign language. Now, I'm satisfied there are some deaf folks that need to be saved. They need to hear and be saved. Two places, Psalm 138 and 2 Kings chapter number 19. Psalm 138. I hope you don't get tired of the thought. It's been a while since I've mentioned it, what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. But it's what God wants. Take my word for it. It is what God wants in this service. Psalms 138 and then 2 Kings and chapter number 19. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Now I'm going to read 2 Kings chapter number 19 first, then Psalm 138. And I'll stay with Psalm 138 in the introduction of the message, and then I'll bring the illustration and the message out of 2 Kings chapter number 19. But I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Kings 19. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. Now I'm going to enlighten you a little right here. This is from the captain of the host of Syria, Assyria. This is from Sennacherib's men, Tartan, Rabsarius, and Rabshakna. And they've made some slanderous remarks to the king of Jerusalem. And we're picking up there. This is the king's response to their remarks. And it said that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Underline that if you want to in your mind or in your Bible. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Amen. Now, reading from Psalms chapter 68, I want to read one, just a portion of one verse, in Psalms 138. In verse number 7, I'll never forget when Brother Sammy Allen years ago was here, and I was in great heaviness of heart, travail of soul, praying for revival. And Brother Allen, on the very first night of the meeting, opened his Bible and read this passage of Scripture and preached on this verse. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Let's read that again. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Hezekiah said to his servants, you tell Isaiah that today is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege tonight to stand in the pulpit behind the sacred desk of God to open a King James Bible and declare the Word of God. Lord, I realize except the Spirit of God comes to preach tonight, there will be very little preaching done. For no man in the energy of his flesh can declare the Word of God with any kind of power or holiness about it. No conviction at all about it. So I pray that you'll anoint this vessel of clay tonight, open the hearts of your people. And Father, we need Thee, this preacher. I need You tonight. Our church needs You. May the wind from another world blow through this place tonight and freshen our souls. Remind us, Lord, that You're a God of revival. And what You're able to do then, You're able to do today. And it ought to encourage us to see how the hand of God moved in the lives of Hezekiah and Isaiah, knowing, Lord, what You did for them, what You did for David, You'll do for us likewise. Now, bless us tonight in Thy Word. May truth be revealed, sin exposed, and the blessing of God fall in this place tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to read verse number 7, part of it, one more time tonight, where Brother David said there, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Two times tonight I've read from Scripture that use the word trouble. Now, I'll be honest, I preached in Sunday school out of the book of Psalms so many times on trouble that I'm almost ashamed of myself to stand and preach it again. But I'll be honest with you, my friend, God has laid this on my heart. I went home Sunday night from our prayer meeting and sat down in my chair and was sitting there drinking a little drink and trying to refresh myself. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, from out of the clear blue, the Holy Ghost said Psalm 138 and verse 7, that though you walk in the midst of trouble, God said, I'll still revive you. I went to my prayer closet in my study room on Monday morning, and normally I go and do my daily Bible reading. I did not do my Bible reading. I turned immediately to that verse of Scripture. And I meditated all morning long and took notes and thoughts on that verse of Scripture. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Sound like he was pretty positive, if you ask me. Sound like he had great confidence in God, if you ask me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I went back to that room again this morning. And again, the Lord began to deal with me about this verse of Scripture. And I'm confident that it is just as needful for Island Ford Baptist Church tonight as any Scripture in the Bible. It is pertinent tonight to our needs. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm here to tell you, my friend, we're walking tonight in the midst of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. And just like Hezekiah said, the children are come to birth and there is not strength to deliver them. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying that, my friend, that God's people tonight are in trouble. Amen. And that we've come to a place of birth. That is, we need to get birthed again. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about we need to flat get out of the trouble that we're in. But I'm afraid that there is not strength to deliver them. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now, I won't try to preach tonight if God will be my helper on the thought when trouble puts on the squeeze. When trouble, somebody might want to say amen. when trouble puts on the squeeze. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I'm afraid that trouble has got a bear hug on Island Ford Baptist Church. And it has put the squeeze on us. And if we're not right careful, it'll squeeze until it squeezes the breath out of us. And if it squeezes the breath out of us, which is the type of the Holy Ghost, there'll be no power left in the house of God. God will help us through our troubles, over our troubles, around our troubles. God will help us through our troubles. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, we're going to have to get a hold of God somehow, some way, in our heart and in the church. We're going to have to get a hold of God. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Troubles are squeezing the life out of us. Not only the breath, but the life. There's no life left in our church. Somebody said, I'm saved. Why don't you act like it? Somebody said, preacher, I've got life. We're certainly not acting like it. Oh, yeah, trouble will put the squeeze on. Trouble, my friend, will squeeze the very life out of us. Just like a strong man can pick up a child, or a boa constrictor can wrap around a human being and squeeze them till there's no life left in them, my friend. If we allow trouble to continue on, trouble will squeeze the breath and the very life out of the individuals of our church. And if it squeezes it out of the individuals of the church, it will eventually squeeze it completely out of the house of God. Are you listening to me tonight? When trouble puts on the squeeze, and son, it'll put her on. What about this word trouble? You've heard it quoted a number of times. Job 14:1. I didn't say John 14:1. That's where some of you'd like to be tonight, in John 14:1. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's a wonderful place to be, but I'm here to tell you, my friend, those mansions are not shining very bright in some of you's life, and the reason it's not, you have let your troubles dim the glory of the mansions God has prepared for us tonight. When trouble puts on the squeeze, old brother Job said, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of troubles. And that includes women too. I'm not just preaching to men tonight. Bless your heart, I'm preaching to everybody. Man, woman, boy, and girl, all families, we all have troubles. And I'm here to tell you, we're not in them alone. And we're not the only generation that's ever experienced trouble. For Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days, and not just a couple, one, two, or three, but he is full of trouble. If I understand what the word full means, it don't take a science professor to know that full means full. When something's full, you can't get no more in it. What Job is saying is, my friend, that there's always going to be trouble. You can't get out of trouble all the time. One trouble passes, another trouble crops up. Trouble, trouble, and more trouble. There is always trouble. If you let it put squeeze on you, our problem is we've never learned to live through it. Live with victory through it. Live with a little joy through it. I'm going to tell you what it amounts to. Resolving in our heart that God's on the throne. Believing God's in control. God does what He wills and wills what He does. And if God led us into it, God will bring us out of it. And that's right. And give, amen. And my friend, appropriating enough grace. There is an abundance of grace. But we are drowned in our sorrows if we do not learn to appropriate the grace of God to combat the troubles in our life. Why aren't you breathing, brother? I'm going to get this wheel. Breathe a little bit. I'm going to get this wheel. Come on, man, inhale. Trouble. Man that is born a woman is a few days full of troubles. Old brother Job said, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. In other words, it is going to happen. You strike a two flints together, son, or strike a lot of fire and stir up a fire, and the sparks from that fire, they don't go down into the ground, they go up. Job said, just as sure as sparks fly upward, man is bound to have troubles in this life. Said in Psalm 27:5, hallelujah to God. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. I'm glad. Yes, Brother Jerome, I'm glad. Thank God that I have found a refuge, my friend, in God's holy pavilion. I tell you the problem with people. They've never learned to come to the house of God and find shelter and safety down at the church house. God's holy pavilion. That's right. I said in Psalm 46 and verse 11, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. That is, He's always there in trouble. When the three Hebrew boys went into the furnace, He was there. Daniel went into the den of lions, He was there. When Moses came to the Red Sea, He was there. When Paul got thrown into Philippian jail, He was there. Oh yes, when Paul was beaten with many stripes, God was there. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when Joseph got thrown down into the pit, God was there. I'm telling you, there never has been a... Hey! If the God is with the sparrows that fall to the ground, what makes you think He'll not be with you, my friend, in all circumstances of life? Bless His wonderful name. Now, don't leave me now. I'm telling you, if some of you don't kind of get into it, you ain't going to get a bit of help. And the very people that need the help ain't going to get no help. And you've made up your mind, you're a big boy, you can handle everything on your own, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out you can't handle everything on your own, son. Devil put enough in your life to prove you, and God will let him put enough there to prove you that if you're God's child, you can't handle it all on your own. God, through the trouble, tries to teach us, my friend, to lean on Him. Said in Solomon chapter 8, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Amen. You ain't going to come up out of it on your own power. You better come. You have to come out of your trouble leaning on your beloved. Yes, sir, friend. Now, I want you to stay with me. The only way I can break this verse down is take just about word by word and define it and tell you what these words mean. Though I walk through the midst of trouble. That word though means although. Although I walk through the midst of trouble. Or can I say, because. Because I walk through trouble, thou wilt revive me. In spite of it. In spite of the trouble. Because of the trouble. Our trouble is God's opportunity. God said, just because I've let you be there, just because you're in trouble, I will revive you there. Are you listening to me? It means although. It means while. It means oh, that when you walk in the midst of trouble, I will revive you. It means of a truth. Of a truth, my friend. While you're in the midst of trouble. Son, it's a verily, verily. It's a truth, it's a truth. While you're in trouble, because you're in trouble, I will revive you. If I don't get to preaching, we'll be here till midnight. Huh? Though I walk, though I journey. Now you understand he didn't say sit down. Sit down and you'll never be revived. Amen. Go to sleep on your bed, church. Three. Crawl up under your juniper tree and pity party. Yeah, that's right. There'll be no revival there. Amen. Oh, no. While I walk, although I walk, not sitting, not crawling, but I'm a-walking, I'm journeying through this life. And the thought there is that all the time, somebody, We're journeying through this life. God can give us a revival spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 on leap year. We got the idea of a little touch of revival, something out of the ordinary. Not out of the ordinary, it's a natural thing. As we journey along, midst, though I walk in the midst. That word midst means to be nearest to. Now you get a hold of that. I said it means a nearest to. He is not talking about no long distant trouble, ladies and gentlemen. He is talking about that kind of trouble that draws up like this and sits down beside you and says, and you're supposed to say, who are you?
Who are you?
Trouble.
Right.
And I've come to rub shoulders with you. And guess what? I intend to hang around a while.
Amen.
In fact, I'm going to get all over you, man.
Yeah.
You're in the midst of trouble.
Right.
It ain't just trouble on the right side rubbing shoulders. It's trouble on the left side and in front and in back. If you please, it's Brother Job in chapter number 14, when he looked up front of him, looked behind him, right, left, couldn't find. Oh, trouble was all around him. Hello, sir. I am fixing to squeeze the breath out of you, son.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting the picture, ladies and gentlemen?
Amen.
It's not that little long distance trouble where somebody bad-mouths you on the telephone. It's not that trouble that you hear about once a week or once a month. I'm talking about the trouble, son, that goes home with you at night.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the trouble that sits down at your supper table with you 7 nights a week. I'm talking about the trouble that walks into your bedroom and crawls down in the bed between you and your wife every night, son, and reminds you that there's trouble in your life.
Yeah,
are you a listening? Nearest to. Then trouble. Trouble. Because I'm journeying along this way and that trouble is near to me. But what is that trouble? It means a tightness. By the way, in both places that are read, it means a tightness. It means a crowding. It means to cramp. It means to shut up. Some of you are shut up. Some of you haven't said amen in 6 months. It means as a stone pressed hard. Feel pressed? It means as a sharp knife. Ever feel like you've been stabbed in the back? Help me, Brother Steve. Well, I thought God loved me, and here I feel like God, the lover of my soul, has just brought me out of Egypt to stab me in the back. It's His fault. You better learn to give Him the glory for it, hot rod. Ma'am. Now I'm telling you, we're getting ready to get down in the church now where the rubber's going to meet the road at Island Ford Baptist Church. It means to lay siege to in a hostile manner. You think your trouble's friend with you? It lays siege just like Sennacherib, son, sent Rabshakeh and cast a bag around her and said, lay siege to that city. I want it. Now don't leave me. I'm getting ready to give you something here. And I'm just telling you what the strong says, okay? Look in yours. Don't have to take my word for it. It means a female rival.
you get a hold of that?
It means a female rival. Look her up!
Amen.
Look her up, brethren. Look her up!
Amen.
Now that leads me to this. What is a rival? A rival is one who is in pursuit of the same object of another. Two people trying to claim the same thing. Sennacherib said, I want the gold out of that city. Not only do I want the gold out of that city, I want the city. Not only do I want the gold out of the city and the city, but I want the rule and the authority over that city. And there you've got the rival. Now look here, and somebody said, why does it say female? I believe God showed me that today. Who is nearest to a man than a female?
Right.
It is the trouble that's nearest you, my friend. Is anybody in your life, Brother Robert, any nearer to you than Sharon? I hope to God not. Anybody any nearer in your life than Lisa, Brother Doug? Anybody in your life any nearer, Brother Ricky, than your wife? I hope not. Are they, Brother? I hope not. I'm glad you said no, son. Because it's the nearest thing to you. And it's rubbing your gut the wrong way. And I'm telling you, and by the way, it ain't just one in this church. Son, if you got the idea I'm preaching to one individual or one family, you are dumber than a box of rocks, neighbor. Because when I get down to where I want to get to in a minute, we're going to put the rubber on the road what's got this church bound up in hell. I hope you listen.
Amen.
Both wanted the gold. Both wanted the city. Both wanted to rule. And by the way, if you read chapter 18, you'll find that Sennacherib got the gold, but that wasn't enough.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. Trouble cannot be satisfied. It's got to be slain. It's got to be crucified. I'll never forget my daddy-in-law used to tell me he fought in World War II, and he said, son, he said, there ain't no but one way to deal with a communist. He said, if you ever get them on the ground, or a Nazi, he said, you ever get them on the ground, get your foot on their throat, he said, don't let them up, they'll kill you.
Right.
Now, I'm telling you, friend, there ain't but one way to deal with trouble. If you ever get it down and get your foot on his throat, you better pop his neck, because if you ever let him up, he'll kill you.
Right.
I'm doing my best. Don't y'all tighten up on me now. A rival is one who is striving to reach or obtain something which another is attempting to obtain and which only one can possess. Sennacherib and Hezekiah both could not possess Jerusalem. What a rivalry going on! What trouble does rivalry create? Son, when there's rivalry in the house of God, and folks are trying to obtain what only one can possess, and by the way, the one may already possess it that it truly belongs to, and they still may be a rival over it. Don't leave me. Striving to be equal or exceed another in excellence. It means holding the same pretension or claims. Now we're getting ready. Just stay with me now. The story. David wrote the words in Psalm 138. But 300 years later, a king by the name of Isaiah, Hezekiah, experienced what David wrote about. Trouble put a squeeze on him, friend. A man by the name of Sennacherib come up into the land, and it already, by the way, the Assyrian king had already carried off Israel into bondage.
Amen.
And 100 and some years later, under Sennacherib, Assyria came back into the land of Judah against the fenced cities and took them all. And he come down to Jerusalem and sent his three thugs down to Jerusalem and begin to tell those people in no uncertain terms that were on the wall, if you don't come down off the wall and surrender to us, We're going to take your city, for no other kings have ever withstood against us. In other words, buddy, what this trouble was saying is, this trouble was saying, son, I'm telling you, I fought the best of them. I have fought the best of God's people, buddy. And trouble number one, I am trouble of all troubles, and none's been able to stand. I'm going to tell you what, if you listen to trouble whisper in your ear, it'll make you believe that they can't nobody whoop him. He ain't never met my big brother. Yay, men to God. Son, he has never met head on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, he can put trouble to rout in just a blink of an eye. Just the word of his mouth. Just the strength of one little finger. And he can put your trouble down the road. He put a hook in Sennacherib and a bridle in his mouth and took him on back to the house of his God. And he died in the house of his God. Are you listening to me? Trouble. Trouble puts a squeeze on. And you know, so Sennacherib came up against the city and said, you go tell Hezekiah, if he'll make an agreement with me, I'm getting ready to get into the message, so don't leave me. This has all been introduction. He said, if he'll make an agreement with me and come out to me, he said, you'll all sit under your own vine and said, you'll just have a wonderful time. I'll let you drink of your own cistern. You'll eat your own fig. You have a wonderful time. All he's got to do is to come out. And look here. If Sennacherib would have been a Baptist, he'd have done it. If he had been a Baptist, I'm going to tell you what he'd have done. He'd have sat down like this. Well, I just... What are you going to do, Hezekiah? Well... First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to keep silent. I'm not going to tell nobody about the hell that's really raging in my heart, because I'm tough and I don't want nobody to think I'm not tough. So I just seal my lips. And when you seal your lips, friend, you seal your heart. Don't leave me now. He wasn't no Baptist. Are you in 2 Kings 19? I want you to see these things. I'm not going to fabricate nothing. I'm going to tell you the first thing that he done, friend. Look at 1 Kings 19:1. It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and stayed home from church. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be ugly. But friend, we're not going to get very far with half of the males at Island Ford Baptist Church working about three quarters of the services we have. Now I'm telling you what, my friend, God is a problem-solving God. But most of the problems I have ever had resolved, He resolved them down at the church house under old-time Holy Ghost preaching. And the very first thing that He did when he realized that He was in trouble, folks, He went to the house of God. Now I'm here to tell you, hey, we don't put much of a premium on church today. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you a fact. And by the way, I think we ought to try to be in the house of God if we have to make a sacrifice in order to be there. I'm here to tell you something, neighbor. Now, I've told you this, but it'll do you well to hear it again. For 2 solid years of my life, I worked from 7 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the evening, drove 9 miles to get home, took a bath, listened to preaching and our singing while I was getting ready, walked another 4 blocks to school, sat down in the classroom by 6, which was an hour from the time I got off work. Sat there for 3.5 hours in class, went home and studied until 2 o'clock in the morning, and got back up and went to work the next day. And our stinking problem is we don't want to make any kind of a sacrifice at all to be at the house of God. Son, let 5 minutes of your work take a hike down the road. You can live without $20, but you cannot live without God in your life. Amen. Sacrifice a little bit to be in church.
Amen.
And I said, I get awful tired. Bless God, you ain't but yourself.
Right. Amen.
Huh? I'd go to work hungry or pack, bless God, a bologna sandwich and eat it on the road before I'd lay out of church. We got folks tonight, members of this church, ain't here or to be here, and if they don't get their carcass here for long, my vote is drop them. Excommunicate them. Like that, lump it. You cannot cross the finish line carrying dead weight, my friend, along behind you. God ain't going to put up that mess but so long. Oh, somebody said, I don't like that. I didn't expect your flesh to like it. But I'm trying to get us spiritually minded, my friend. One fella sat in there and lied to me yesterday on the phone, Sunday night. Right before prayer. Oh, I'll be there Tuesday night, preacher. Bless God, I ain't seen him. I'm sick of folks telling me lies. Come on now. I'm talking, and look here. When trouble came, the first thing they did, Hezekiah made a beeline to the house of God, for he knew that's where God was at. Now I'm going to tell you something right here. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to like this one. You know the second thing he did? Verse number 2. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe. Are y'all with me now? You might run me off. You might want to vote me out right here when I get ready to tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. And Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to the church secretary. And I expected it to get quiet. Send them to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. I'm going to tell you why some of you cannot get yourself out of the jam you're in. You constantly and consistently and continuously, my friend, try to find your counsel and your wisdom from the wrong source. It'll never work. Getting it from Miss Ruth or from my wife. God has set a man of God as an over shepherd over you.
Amen.
Say amen or owe me or something. Now I'm going to tell you what I think one of the problems in our church is, and I hate to preach on it. I think it's disrespect for the man of God. And I'm here to tell you something, friend. I'm not talking about saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and calling him Pastor Hall. I'm talking about respecting the office and the position and the rule. What Paul say in Hebrews about them that have the rule over you that they might do it with joy. I'm going to tell you that's where one of the big problems. And I'm here to tell you, and if I'm saying it in love the best I know how, I love you. But some of you women in this church continue to run to Ruth to get some of your information and some of your counsel and some of your help. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's putting you and your family in a pickle with God. I know you don't like that. But I'm telling you that is a fact.
Amen.
Some of your children are doing the same.
Amen.
Yes, Preacher Hall.
Amen.
I know they are because I've caught them doing it.
Amen.
I have confronted them about it. I have confronted their parents about it. It's got to be said, Brother Jerry. I'm here to tell you something, folks. When you need something, hey, if you're afraid of me, my wife, get my wife. We'll sit down and talk to you. If you need something from this church, come see me. I ain't never withheld a thing that this church has to any one of the members. But I tell you, I am getting kind of tired of being taken by surprise.
Amen.
They went to Isaiah the prophet.
Amen.
Hezekiah said, "Man of God, what are we going to do?" Now I'm going to tell you something. And I don't say this disrespectful to Kelly's parents. But on that Wednesday when that little baby was born, when they took that little baby, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. I had to swell my chest. I didn't like everything that took place, but I had to swell my chest out, buddy. I mean it. Because Brother Ricky come out there and them folks, her parents got up. Brother Ricky walked over to me and said, "I want to talk to the man of God before I talk to anybody." I said, "Amen to God." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Her own mom and daddy, but he said, "The man of God! The man of God's got to..." And there, hey, folks, I'm not trying to brag on Gary Hall, but I'm telling you, God endues and endows a man of God with some sort of insight and wisdom to try to guide you and help you spiritually through your life. But if you continually to run to another source to get your help, God cannot help you.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there ain't some of you in here that's getting counsel from another pastor's wife. Won't work, friends.
Amen.
Ain't we having fun?
Amen.
Verse 19, chapter 19 and verse 10. He said, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not the God in whom thou trustest." I'll show you the next thing he did. He trusted in God. Although he got his advice from the man of God, he trusted in God. Isaiah said, "Hey, in the God whom you've trusted.
Amen.
Put your faith in that book."
Amen.
Fifthly, let's read chapter number 18. It is 19 and 13. Fifthly, he refused to surrender to the pressure and believed the report from Isaiah. Hey, now, that's important. He said in 13, "Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Zarephim, and Heni and Hiva?" And Hezekiah received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you know why Isaiah is back at the house of God again? He believed what the man of God told him. Isaiah said, "Hey, don't you fear that man. God will send a strong blast, put a hook in his nose, bridle in his mouth, and carry him by the same way that he came, all the way back down into Assyria." And Hezekiah believed what the man of God told him.
Amen,
I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, I want you to get me. I'm telling you, this is on my heart. I've got to get it out. I've got to get it out. Please don't fall out with me. But I say this in all honesty. I asked Brother Billy Ball at Brother John Fletcher's. This ain't something I drummed up yesterday. I said, "Brother Ball, do you believe in preaching?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you believe that God moves churches, leads ministries, helps people through the preaching of the Word of God?" "Oh, yes, sir, I do." I said, "I want to ask you another question. How many times did you miss in our meeting preaching what the Holy Ghost told you to miss?" He said, "Not once."
Amen.
I said, "Not every time." "Not every time." He said, "Not a time. Never missed one time." Then the thought come to me, Brother Jerry, hey, if he didn't miss and he was right, then pray God tell me why we ain't went forward. Quiet now. There's only two answers. Wrong Miriam, or Miriam ain't right. Folks, I'm telling you, two and two makes four. And I'm ready to go on. I'm tired of tippy-toeing, amen to God, and hobnobbing and playing church. Son, it's time to get a ride and go home.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. Last night in my study, I looked up Miriam. You know what it means? It means rebellious.
Amen.
One of two things. Either it ain't right, or there's another, it ain't just, or there's another Miriam. God help us. I know this ain't popular. But it is the truth.
Amen.
Son, I want to see some people saved.
Amen.
Folks, I'm a begging God on my face to save sinners. My God, I want to see some folks saved. But it just keeps coming back up goose egg. Every time I pray, just goose egg, goose egg, goose egg.
Amen.
Is it true? Then you must not believe it is. But I believe it is. Because I believe in preaching. And I believe in that book. And God still manifests His power and presence through the preaching of that book. And He still honors truth and a lie He will. I want to say three things and I'm done. There's a problem. Number one, there's a problem. The problem brought the trouble. And the problem was that Hezekiah refused to agree with his enemy. It always brings trouble, folks. Standing against your adversary always brings trouble. You know what they said about Hezekiah? What Rabshakeh and them said? They said in chapter 18, verse 31, they said, "Hearken not to Hezekiah," talking to the people on the wall. "For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me." Come on, agree with me. Agree with your trouble. Go on, tell your trouble it's right. God's a liar. God don't love you no more. Agree with me. Son, there's going to be trouble and problems when you do not agree with your enemies. I'm talking about Satan, sin, society, and your flesh. It may involve your family, your friends, and your next of kin. But son, when you buck up against your enemy, mark her down, trouble will come your way, and God will let it come your way to prove what you are. And if your faith fails in times of adversity, your faith is very small, my friend. Are you listening to me? The problem was he refused to agree with his enemy. Now look here. Here's what Rabshakeh said there in that verse. He said, "Come out to me. Then every man will eat under his own vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of the system, till I take you away to a land just like this land." You know what he's saying is? I'm going to tell you exactly what he's saying. He said, "You will live just fine in captivity." My friend, you'll live just fine if you just surrender to your trouble and back up and sit down and say, "Bless God, I'm going to roll over and play dead like a possum. And I'm going to let it have its way. Whatever comes will come. Let her come. I'm not fighting it. I don't care. I ain't going to pray. I'm not going to worship God. I ain't singing. I'm not worshiping God. I don't care what they do down at the church house. I'm going to drag in, drag out. Bless God. Why? I mean, God's a-picking on me. God bless your heart. You've listened to the voice of your trouble. You'll do well, son, living in your captivity. But I'm going to tell you, when you get down into Babylon, go on, try to sing in Babylon. There ain't no song in Babylon. Listen to what Peter said in 2 Peter. He said in 2 Peter 2:19, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." Go on and let your trouble overcome you, and that trouble will bring you into bondage the rest of your life.
Amen.
Like I've preached a number of times, if you run, you're done. Every time a man in school used to run from a bully, he was done. That bully would pick on him from that time. And if you run from your trouble, mark her down, the devil, son, will laugh and giggle at you. And when he gets you on the run, he'll keep you on the run, buddy.
Amen.
Rabshakeh said, "You can drink of your own sister and eat your own figs, grapes." You can do all that. You can surrender to your trouble. And you can eat your vine, your figs, your grapes, and drink from your cistern. But there'll be one thing wrong. You won't have no God. I'd rather sit in the desert with God, friend, than sit in the richest place.
Amen.
And prefer most fertile valleys without Him.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Some of you ain't. Some of you are so mad you can bite a 10-penny nail in, too. But I don't know how to put a pin in you and pop the air bubble out, buddy. I didn't come to town yesterday. I didn't come to town to constantly put up with a bunch of hell and a bunch of junk. And some of y'all sitting out there rolling your eyeballs around right now don't have any earthly stinking idea of what the hell I've been put through back there for 12 and a half years.
Right.
I'm talking about over and over and over and over and over and over, hell after hell after hell after hell after hell.
Right. Amen.
I'm tired of it.
Amen.
For 2 Peter 2:20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning."
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm simply saying that somewhere in your problem, you're going to have to find God.
Amen.
You'll have to find God in it, friend. That's the only solution to it. To overcome it, you've got to find God. I want to mention His prayer. Some of you are ready to go. You wish I'd have quit 30 minutes ago. His prayer. In verse number 14 of chapter 19, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord. There he is again. He sought the Lord's help in God's house again. And then it said it spread it before the Lord. That word spread means to dissect, to break, to lay open, to disperse. He went right down through his trouble, through his problem, a little clipping at a time. You know, when they x-rayed my heart a few months ago down at the VA, you know what they did? They x-rayed it in the thousands, literally thousands of little increments, just little old tiny micros, just thousands of them. They just dissected that thing on film. I'm going to tell you, that's what Isaiah said Hezekiah done here.
Amen.
He laid that thing out before God, the problem that he had.
Amen.
And he just dissected it, buddy. Here's what they've said. Here's what they've done. Here's what we've done, Lord. Here's where we're at. Here's what's going on. And he dissected it. He sought the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. Then he confessed that his trouble was greater than he was. In verse number 17. He said, "Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands." He said this. He said, honestly, Sennacherib's done all that he said he's done. And he said, "That man's bigger than I am. I can't handle him." I'm going to tell you something, folks. We can't handle our troubles.
Amen.
They're bigger than we are.
Yes, sir.
They're greater than we are.
Amen.
But in verse number 18 and 19, he realized that his trouble was not as great as his God was. For he said, "I have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, work of stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand." I'm not going to read the rest of it. But he realized,
amen,
that his trouble was not greater than his God. And our trouble ain't greater than our God,
amen,
friend.
Amen.
No. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And then there's a promise. And I don't want to close without this. Look in verse number 28 of that chapter. This is God speaking now. "Because thy rage against me," he is speaking this against Sennacherib. "Because thy rage against me and thy turmoil is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and thy bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest." Hey, he promised to remove the trouble. Thy trouble.
Amen.
What a problem. Bye-bye trouble. Well, you mean I don't have to do a thing? Oh, no, just trust God.
Amen.
He'll put a hook in his nose, a very tender spot, son. You ever anybody grab you by the nose? I'm going to tell you, you get somebody by the nose, you can not do anything with them you want to do with them. He said, "I'm going to grab Sennacherib by the nose and put a bridle in his mouth, and I'm going to take him back. Look here. And I'm taking him back the same way he come up. He's going to have to lick his calf again."
Amen.
He'll take the same course in retreat that he took in his reproach.
Amen.
And then in verse number 29, "This shall be a sign unto thee. You shall eat this year such things as you grow of themselves. And in the second year, that which bringeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof." Not only did he remove the trouble, promised to remove the trouble, but he promised them that they'd reap what they'd sow. They were not reaping evil and sin. They were reaping what they sowed. And look here, in our trouble, folks, when we're in trouble, we'll reap what we sow at the end of it. And then I like this. It said in verse number 30, "And the remnant that has escaped to the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward." And you know what that is in my book? "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." That's the revival. That little remnant, that little handful, that just that little few will still take root downward and fruit upward.
Amen.
Trouble puts a squeeze on. Son's been putting it on us now.
Amen.
And if I've offended you, I haven't done it intentionally. I've tried to preach the truth tonight to help our church.
Amen.
I wouldn't go back and change a thing. I wouldn't say a thing different that I've said tonight.
Amen.
Not a thing, buddy.
Amen.
As the old man said, win, lose, or straw, I wouldn't change a word of it. Because it's true. It's true. And if truth kills us, then bless God, let us die of a death. Let's stand together.